Hello and welcome back to Core Finance. I'm Matt Brown. Today we're going to be looking at oil and crude prices, and I'm joined by our special guest, Gaurav Sharma, business editor of IB Times. It's been too long. Good to have you back.
Good to be, Mac.
Right, crude performed very well over the summer. Seems to be pushing higher. Lots of moving parts, OPEC, geopolitical situations. What's your take on oil prices at the moment?
All right, so let's sort of rewind the clock back, say, by about a fortnight. Mm-hmm. And over the last sort of fortnight, we've seen sort of last week, on a week-on-week basis, it was both Brent and the West Texas were 2% higher. Mm-hmm. Rewind the clock back further, we seem to see this trend that's been with us practically since the middle of October. Now, one thing is that the market is trying to factor in what OPEC is going to do, or rather not do. Mm-hmm. It seems that they might leave the status quo, that they'll extend the cuts further, primarily because there doesn't appear to be much of an exit strategy on the horizon. They've taken this move, but they want to extract themselves from the situation. God knows how they'll do it. So it does look likely that on 30th of November, when OPEC meets, they'll roll over the cuts. Mm-hmm. That's one factor. The second factor is the ongoing kerfuffle in the Middle East. And that, of course, is a Qatari diplomatic spat with four of its neighbors. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, we had the incident over the weekend where the Bahrainis claimed that the Iranians were responsible for a pipeline being blown up. And of course, there's this constant undercurrent of proxy plays by Saudi Arabia and Iran. Now, rewind the clock back to 2013, all sorts of analysts and traders of all stripes and colors used to tell us, well, there is a $10 geopolitical premium, risk premium, instability premium, lots of names, that this $10 per barrel premium is with us and here to stay. And of course, the whole situation dramatically changed in 2014-15 when there was just so much oil that it completely neutered it. Mm-hmm. Now there's this hypothesis going around the city of London, and I suspect that in quite a few circles in New York as well, is this instability premium making a comeback? Ooh, I'm still skeptical. My theory is it will make a proper comeback only if the Saudis and the Iranians go to an all-out war, which would be self-defeating for both parties. Iran is returning to the international community, regardless of what Donald Trump says. And the Saudis, well, you know, we all know about that so-called Aramco IPO on the mm-hmm. cards. So it'll only come if conflict breaks up big time. Otherwise, I don't think it has legs.
So are you saying that the risk premium is too great in the price at the moment, and therefore, fundamentally, the oil price actually should be lower than where we are?
Currently about $4. Mm-hmm. That's my assessment. I'm sure the viewers are, some of them might be inclined to disagree, but I think it's about $4 higher than Brent is than it should be. We're in the 60s. We really should be in the lower 50s. The West Texas is in the mid 50s, should be in the early 50s. That said, now look at the pull from the supply side. People said that U.S. production was plateauing. We keep looking at these rig counts, mm-hmm. and we keep getting this feedback saying, well, the rig counts are down. Now, suddenly you see a little movement in the price, a little movement upwards in the price, and lo and behold, over the weekend, Baker Hughes said, U.S. counts are up, Canadian counts are up, hell, even the international counts mm-hmm. are up. So you see an immediate response. Now, maybe that's that we're drawing too much of a direct connect, but there will be a supply response. It's inevitable. Because I think if you remember when we spoke a couple of months ago, we were discussing how are these guys keeping themselves in the game. And they're keeping themselves in the game by deploying some complex hedging mechanisms. And some of them have hedged out at sort of late 40s, early 50s prices, still somewhere in the region of about middle of 2019. So you will see an immediate supply response. And that's not exclusive to the Americans or the Canadians. You will see a number of people within OPEC doing a little bit of cheating on what they've promised.
And when you mentioned the US and obviously US shale, and it seems they can become the swing provider there, that if oil does push up, they're very quick to get online. And I think if we see oil price above, say, $70, then there's a huge amount that can then come online to get that price pushed down. So it really does put a ceiling on the price at the moment.
And most definitely. I think in a classic sense, we can probably only regard Saudi Arabia as a swing producers. But these are not classic times. These are very unusual times. So some people think the shale guys are the new swing producers. Some people think, you know, a more controlled description, like a buffer producer, for instance. Mm-hmm. That term would be more applicable to the U.S. And Canadian producers. Now, there's that variable. Of course, there'll be a response. Now, there's another thing is, you know, we tend to obsess about supply. What about the demand side? Mm-hmm. Now, if you look at the big five, and I think that has pretty much been the case for at least the last 6 months, that the Americans are not turning to the international markets for obvious reasons. The domestic production is rising, expected to touch 10 million by middle of next year. The Japanese and the South Koreans are importing less and less. The Chinese demand is sort of there or thereabouts. The variable, the key variable that used to bump up the prices is no longer there. Chinese are not importing as much as they used to in 2012, or let's say not having the demand growth mm-hmm. that they had back in those years. So the one key country that is importing more relative to this very month last year is India. And you can't piggyback on one of the big five mm-hmm. to make sure that demand sustains. India has its own complexities. They may not, they at the moment apparently they're attempting an American style strategic petroleum reserve. Now, importation at the moment in India is very healthy, but for the whole market to bank on Indian demand is dangerous business. So I think what the viewers can take from is that don't lose track of where the demand side of the argument is. Mm-hmm. So if you're placing a spread bet, I think chances are between now and 30th of November, you know, have a punt based on the news flow. Have a punt based on the daily news flow, and it looks like going long would be the call. But there are a whole lot of folks out there in the market that we interact with are still net short. They're having the odd long play, but overall they don't think that this rally has legs.
And for looking at the year end and looking at the trade, I mean, it does feel that maybe the short it is the trade to have into the year end, but with the caveat of look out for geopolitical risk, certainly in the Middle East.
I think hedge funds love geopolitical risk. I think the current rally, if I may say so, and this is my opinion, not that of my publication, is very hedge funds driven. That's my reading of the situation. They see a play, and what they do is they go long on that basis, thinking that, you know, the rally would be sustained. The rally is there; it's with us. But I think what has started happening is that in some ways, the market has already started pricing in that OPEC will practically do nothing and just roll over the cuts mm-hmm. Beyond March 2018. And that is a dangerous business. Now, I draw a strange sort of analogy, or maybe a slightly connected analogy, is that before the Bank of England hiked rates to where it was in August 2016, post-Brexit, the market knew there'll be a hike. So when the Bank of England actually got around to hiking, on the day itself, the pound actually fell because it had already been priced in. So this is dangerous business. If people are already pricing in that OPEC will do nothing on the 30th of November, then you know we're in tricky times. But I suspect we'll speak before then.
Great. Simple. Buy the rumor, sell the fact, and we see that happening.
I couldn't have put it better.
Good stuff, Gaurav. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Pleasure.